kind of geopolitically is the extension of what you were brave enough and your audience was brave enough to understand. This is all an extension of the 9/11 disinformation and false flag episode. It continued into the issue of the CIA and the confrontation between the CIA and our military and the President of the United States continuing on the covert activities and trying to reposition themselves in the Middle East while the military under General Petraeus and under other generals are trying to pull us out of the Middle East. What's happening now is we have the overview of a Shiite power, the Iranians fighting the Sunnis, which is Saudi Arabia, but in the middle is Israel continuously playing with all of the players, including Saudi Arabia, and particularly the diaspora Jews and the Jews of the United States, as a way of putting pressure on Obama, as a way of pushing pressure on General Dembski and General Petraeus to say that we want red lines in order to be able to attack Iran, and the answer is repeatedly, even by General Dembski, the answer is no. We will not give you a red line. General Petraeus said not only we will not give you a red line, but we want you to know that under no circumstances, and I do not talk to General Petraeus, I'm a great admirer of his, I know what he is doing, is that he has repeatedly stated, as I had, that from a geopolitical point of view, Israel is a strategic liability and has been a strategic liability for over 20 years. Since 1968, we have had no need for Israel other than the fact that it covered us under the Soviet Union on the eastern, southern, and northern flank. For the first time since 1948, geopolitically, Israel is confronted by Hezbollah, a proxy for Iran, by Hamas and the proxies on the eastern bank of Jordan, and on the south by the Islamic Brotherhood or Al-Qaeda, all of which they were part and parcel of. Israel is not innocent of any activities. And contrary to Bibi Netanyahu's speech today to CNN, where he wished everybody a happy new year, I in return wish Bibi Netanyahu and the Israelis a happy new year and wish that he first begin to tell the truth. That the involvement of Israel was in 9/11. Over 134 Mossad operatives were picked up in 9/11. The FBI picked them up, debriefed them. They were clearly involved with the Pakistani ISI and Saudi Arabian intelligence. Then we get to the old issue of Osama bin Laden, which Obama said incorrectly and lied to the public that Osama bin Laden was killed by SEAL Team 6. Admiral McRaven had lied repeatedly. Unfortunately, this is an admiral, a decent admiral, but for whatever reason, he repeatedly insisted on saying SEAL Team 6 killed Osama bin Laden. And in fact, on your radio show 10 years ago, I said he was already dead. The Navy SEAL Team 6 will be disciplined by General Petraeus and others in the special forces. So what this means, in effect, is that we had an ambassador who was a very honorable ambassador working in the State Department under very good Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, who's been doing an excellent job of keeping everything quiet, alongside of a lot of diplomats, including Mark Grossman and others, and a president who's tried to maintain this war and contained it in a very effective way, and may have been undermined by the following people who once again came out of 9/11, your friends and mine, the neocon chicken hawks. Paul Wolfowitz, once again hiding behind Mitt Romney. Elliot Abrams, hiding behind Mitt Romney. Chertoff, the head of Homeland Security, who now heads off the Chertoff Group, which is nothing more than a cover for the CIA and FBI, run by Charles Allen, a former CIA operative, all hiding behind Mitt Romney, who himself has no idea of what he's talking about in foreign policy. So you have a president, a presidential candidate, who can't utter even the right words, with an entire team composed of Bob Zelik, Roger Ailes, and Murdoch. He has no idea that the most important enemy, he says, is Russia. No, Russia is not our most important enemy. We are a superpower, as Colin Powell has said repeatedly. Cool it, Mitt Romney, and get your facts straight. Mitt Romney is being run by a guy named Don Fencer, a protege of the neocon vultures, Paul Wolfowitz, Richard Perle. And once again, what we have is a fight between the neocon Jews, Israel on that side, and the fact that we have an intelligence service that is split under General Petraeus,
tried to maintain peace and stability in the Middle East, a State Department that's trying to maintain peace and stability, and a situation that has been provoked through agitation propaganda through local Libyans and as well as foreigners meeting mercenaries and others, and concerned with agitation propaganda in order to destabilize Libya and to particularly assassinate our ambassador. Why this particular ambassador? I think it's very important for your audience to understand who Christopher Stevens was. He was considered, and the key word here is an Arabist. It's a very rare word to use in the description of an outstanding foreign service officer. An Arabist was a term that was used by the neocons, the Israelis, and others who did not like experts who were specially trained in Arabic studies, spoke Arabic, were sensitive to the Arab culture, were trained specifically in what was considered the Protestant college developed in the 1800s by famous missionaries on our part. This is all Presbyterian missionaries, which eventually became the the Beirut University of Lebanon, where subsequently great men like Mr. Kerr and others were trained in. An Arabist whom I had worked with on the only peace treaty that has ever existed was part of Christopher Stevens.
All right, we'll stay there. And basically, Doc, we got to go to break. Come back and explain it in layman's terms here. I know you're talking to the intelligence community, but I mean, obviously, you're not a fan of Obama either. But you told me, you're saying Israeli intelligence with Saudi intel is who killed the ambassador. This is pretty.
We are on the march. The empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
That's right, an empire of corrupt criminals that work together. We want to destroy liberty and freedom worldwide. It's real simple. You're for freedom or you're for tyranny. I stand with liberty. Now, Dr. Pachinik won't brag about himself, but over the years interviewing him now for about 11 years or 10 years, I've looked him up, and you come across him. He was the main psychiatrist or psych warfare guy that Jimmy Carter had in the Camp David Accords with Anwar Sadat, and actually got him to do the deal by actually really talking to him. So he knows what he's talking about here. So what they're saying is this ambassador, well, I mean, it's simple. You want to get a war going, you kill the ambassador, you get your jihadis that are in there to start blowing stuff up, and then you blame Obama for it. Now, let's be clear. I don't like Obama. I don't like Mitt Romney. And I really don't like Obama on his anti-gun, all the rest of it. I mean, Dr. Pachinik's worked for George Bush Sr. and Brent Scowcroft. So he's not political as well. He's just giving you what he believes is really going on. I mean, do you really believe anybody that a bunch of jihadis went through all those special forces guys they had guarding the ambassador? Do you really think there were only four security guards there? I mean, Al-Qaeda, quote, bragged that, we know your security. So this is amazing. So just tell me what you told me privately in that 45-minute conversation we had yesterday, Dr. Pachinik. I mean, to tell people where we're standing right now, how this ties into Iran, where this is going.
What we are is at brink of war that's being precipitated by two major countries. That is Israel, particularly Bibi Netanyahu, who knows his country is failing economically, socially, politically. He is isolated by the United States. When General Petraeus 2 years ago said correctly it's a liability, he already immediately tried to take action to draw us back in by mobilizing the Jewish committees like AIPAC, the Zionists, the neocons, and Mitt Romney, and all the men behind them.
But by the way, you're Jewish, Dr. Pachinik. You're Jewish, so you're not.
Jewish. Yeah. I come out of the Holocaust. But remember, Netanyahu did not come out of the Holocaust. Contrary to everything Netanyahu is telling America and is telling Obama, everything he says is a lie, including what his father wrote. His father was a teacher at Cornell. What he continuously says, and I'm saying this as a Jew on the eve of a holiday, is that the Israel was the foundation of salvation for the persecution of Jews. Nothing could have been a greater lie than the fact that Israel or Palestine at the time was of no value to the Israelis, on the contrary to the Jews. On the contrary, when Eichmann came and he was trained in Hebrew, 1927, a deal offered by Hitler to save thousands of Hungarian troops and Jews in return for trucks, Ben-Gurion said, I would rather have 400 cows than one diaspora Jew. Repeatedly, Israel turned down any help to help help the diaspora Jew. They did, however, in 1933 in Palestine, take 36,000 German Jews in return for money and worked with Heydrich and worked with Heydrich, who was a Jew. I'm talking as a diaspora Jew. There were 165,000 German Jews called Mischlinger in Hitler's army, none of which Netanyahu wants to talk about.
Well, I mean, Dr. Pasenik, this is super deep history you're getting into, and we appreciate you.
Well, let me just say something. Everything Bibi is saying to America and to the American Jews is an absolute unmitigated lie. Not since 1968 was Israel ever interested in the diaspora Jew using the Holocaust. Then they created a machinery to use the Holocaust as a way of mobilizing guilt and anxiety over the world. But they're not the only culprits. The next culprit is Saudi Arabia and the Sumari Seven. That is the wife of King Abd al-Aziz. Let's put it this way, very simply. The Faisal and Saud families are not legitimate heirs to Saudi Arabia. It was created by England. They created, in a concept called divide and conquer, a family that came out of Dhurria. Most of you saw that in the Lawrence of Arabia film. It does not exist. They are Wahhabi. They distort the Quran. The message of the Quran throughout history has always been peace and love and working with all of the religions. They were formidable, and the Wahhabis are the total distortion. The true descendants of Mecca and Medina are not the King Faisal of Saudi. They are the Hashemites. But the British took them away from Saudi Arabia, put one in Iraq who was 4 years old and another one in Jordan so that they would never have an ability to have the true leaders of Prophet of Muhammad. So what we have here is a collusion between Saudi Arabia and the neocon Jews of America and Israel against a president who, whether I like or dislike, and may have lied on Osama bin Laden, is the son of a CIA operative, the grandson of a CIA operative, who understands very well what the issues of intelligence are, including the United States ambassador, who understands very well what
happened. Sure, put it in layman's terms, though, for people. Sure. I mean, bottom line, what's the point of killing the ambassador? What's the point of turning out?
Killing the ambassador is to precipitate a war so that Israel can finally get into Iran and try to destroy Iran. It will be the beginning of the end of Israel. It's Armageddon for Israel. Israel wants to go in, but it wants to force America to take it out of its trouble in Iran because Israel cannot succeed in any flight into Iran. It is impossible logistically and strategically. Israel lost every war since 68. There is not one war they have succeeded in, despite what they may say to everybody else. And the last war, where they lost thousands of men, will be a reminder to the Israeli mothers that every time they send their children to war, they will die in multiples, and no Americans will come to help you. Petraeus will not come. Dempsey will not come. Neither will any other soldiers or intelligence operatives. So what we have here is an internal strife against Saudi Arabia, the United States, attacking one of our ambassadors and killing them in the name of the fact that he was a representative of the United States and he was an Arabist. Now, let me tell you what an Arabist is very quickly for the audience to understand. They were famous people who helped to develop a treaty, the only treaty that's ever been done between Israel and a Muslim club in Egypt, was called the Camp David Accord, of which I was privileged to be a member. And one of the most famous people there was Herman Iles, the ambassador to Egypt, an Arabist. Another one, Frank Wisner, who should have been Secretary of State, a great foreign service officer. Another person is the man by the name of Chas Freeman, who was accused by the neocon of being pro-Israel, anti-Israel, because he speaks Arabic. He's a scholar. He's a foreign service officer. Well, so what you're seeing here is a division within the United States by Zionists, not Jews only, but Zionists, Israeli Mossad operatives, and Saudi financing in order to denigrate the value of our foreign service officers who are trained in culture, Arabic studies, including April Glaspie, and the president who got rid of all of our Arabists under neocon pressure was Clinton. Ironically, Hillary Clinton was trying to maintain the peace. Her husband was brutally intimidated by the neocon Jews to get rid of every Arabist in the State Department and put in people like Martin Indyk. Martin Indyk, who was ambassador to Israel, was nothing more than an Australia spy who within one day became an American citizen, was appointed by Dennis Ross, another neocon, who works with Paul Wolfowitz, and made our ambassador to Israel.
All right, let me stop you, Doc. We're going to have you back up very early this week for an hour and a half because you, I mean, obviously you need to go over this whole history for people that don't understand it. But here's the issue. We're about to go to break, but what I need to understand here is you've got the British fleet massing. They never go somewhere unless there's a war. You've got 25 nations all gathering. This is hardly in the news. You've got QE Unlimited starting. You've got our government digging in like it's the end of the world. All the evidence I see says they're going ahead in October, late October with this, and it could lead to World War III. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. It could be earlier than October because we have Yom Kippur, and I predicted on your radio show, and I predicted to our national security people privately that Bibi Netanyahu would start something on Rosh Hashanah. This was over a year ago, and I said it on your radio show. He was as predictable as a clock, and the Israelis will be very predictable on Yom Kippur in a couple of weeks. They will try to initiate another war unless their ex-Mossad operatives and their ex-Shin Bet will take out Netanyahu and do to Netanyahu what happened to Rabin. They know what I'm talking about. Otherwise, he will bring down Israel, the world, and there will be a third world war. Turkey is trying to help us. Russia is trying to help us.
Well, Dr. Pechenik, I think everybody knows what you were talking about right there. I'm in over my head. This is pretty hardcore stuff. All I know is I want peace. I don't want a world war. And I see the police, everybody digging in for what they say is the end of America, and I don't like it. I don't like where this is going because a bunch of people want the end of the world. People in Israel, people in Iran, and a bunch of Christians who I don't think are very Christian. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live, ladies and gentlemen. I am just absolutely stunned right now by the things that Dr. Pechenik is talking about. Clearly, the way the mainstream media is absolutely pouncing on and going after Obama is just so clear. I don't like Obama. I hate him. I hate his socialism, his anti-gun, all of it. I wish Romney was an alternative. I'm not saying vote for either one of them. And I know Pechenik is you know, apolitical when it comes to this. Doc, we only have about 5 minutes left. You've really dropped some bombshells here, but most analysts say this could easily lead to World War III. And the neocons are trying to destabilize Russia and overthrow them, try to turn them into a new enemy, a new arms race. Doesn't the military-industrial complex know if they start World War III, there won't be anywhere to spend all that money they're getting?
Well, the military-industrial complex at this point is totally denuded. What they're afraid of is the $2 trillion subsequation, the decrease in money that they're going to get in the military. But the military right now is divided. What you have is military generals who've had experience and no longer want to go into Iraq and Afghanistan and have told the president and others, this is enough. We have to get out of the sandbox, as General Petraeus says. And we have to leave. We have a bigger issue that's much more important than Middle East for us, and that's cyber war, as Keith Alexander said, and the issue, as Obama said, East Asia and the Pacific and China's growing influence.
The United States has lost all of its soft power by going in there, among other things, to, quote, help Israel. And notice these invasions haven't helped Israel. Israel is more insecure than ever.
That's correct. Because of their own paranoia and continuous paranoia and the insecurity, they keep feeding it in a loop. And what happens is their soldiers are no longer equipped. Remember, these are not the same Zionists that came in and established the State of Israel in 1948, which, by the way, they then committed in 1948 euthanasia and genocide, which subsequently the Israelis admitted to.
The ringworm children. The ringworm children.
The Palestinians.
Well, they also killed a bunch of the Sephardic Jews with the radiation. You know about that?
Yes, I also know that they created a lot of agitation and propaganda in Morocco in order to force the Moroccan Jews to leave a very friendly friend to the Jews, King Hassan of Morocco. So the Israelis and the Zionists have created a use the Jews of the diaspora, that means the Polish, Russian Jews, and Sephardic Jews, as a weapon to manipulate world opinion, to create agitation propaganda, in the same way Saudi Arabia is using their people, the Salafists, to be the thugmen against the United States and use it in the term of Al-Qaeda or any form they want. But Saudi Arabia, which is falling apart now because it's only a second or third generation illegitimate ruling class from an illegitimate king, is now in the process of falling apart. Both states, Israel and Saudi Arabia, are in desperate situation, and they're trying to force America back into the Middle East.
Well, you got Dempsey
correctly is saying no. And while Petraeus is saying no, Dempsey is saying we will not go to war in order to protect you.
Well, Doc, in closing, we're going to get you back up in the next few days, and we appreciate your time, stevepachinik.com.
My pleasure, and thank you.
But I mean, in closing, you did confront Dempsey. You told us about it. Later, he came out after that and said, hey, don't blame the U.S. or me of Israel attacks. I think the answer, short of what you were talking about, which I certainly don't want earlier, is to have our military and our government unify and say, we're not going to do this. Stop it. Because if they don't call this out, this looks like false flag city to me, because if elements in Israel are this arrogant right now, they might pull a false flag. What do you say in 20 seconds?
They absolutely pulled a false flag. This is a false flag. Our military clearly pointed out to me that the Libyan embassy was very far away when they had 2 days' notice, and basically...
I'll tell you what, do two more minutes. We've got our next guest coming up, but do 2 more minutes. 1 minute break. Come back and make the point about embassy security. Dr. Pachinik's our guest.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, he's been a top hostage negotiator for the State Department. He wrote their book on psychological warfare. He's overthrown governments. BBC and Telegraph say he manipulated the communist who is fighting against to kill the Prime Minister of Italy. He'll never talk about that on air every time I bring it up. He served, I don't know, 4 or 5 presidents. He was a colonel before that from the Vietnam era in Black Ops. Only got a few minutes left with Dr. Steve Pachinik, who is Jack Ryan character. Clancy said that's a composite of Dr. Pachinik and a few others, but that he helped write those books. He's one of the experts helping Tom Clancy, and he's also, again, had his books put into major films. He's a very accomplished person. He's a big deal, and he's here telling us this, and he's communicating with intelligence agencies all over the world right now through this show. And you can take away from this what you want. I don't think you're idiots. So I will bring on high-powered guests who will have discussions like go on behind the scenes at the Pentagon, the high-level brass meetings, and the highest levels of the Council on Foreign Relations. This guy's worked for George Bush Sr., worked right under Henry Kissinger. I'm not going to get into it all, but, I mean, he's definitely from the major power structure. And the fact that he's here saying these types of things, he's been on the show off and on for 10 years, really is frightening because he's not pulling any punches now. I mean, Dr. Pachinik knows where the bodies are buried. Doc, you're going to be back with us Tuesday for an hour and a half because this is moving quickly. World War III, financial collapse, that's why all this is happening. But talk about the embassy and the killing of the ambassador in Benghazi and the point you've made that your average jihadis, you know, basically couldn't do this and the message that was sent and how that ties into your sources. You were telling me off air that your Pentagon sources, I mean, they know who really killed this guy and the message it's meant to send.
Well, the message he was meant to send, the Pentagon sources have informed me that the distance between the Libyan embassy where our ambassador was and where the rioters were, it was so large, and 2 days of a delay in response, meaning simply that they were professionals ready to take out our ambassador, who was an Arabist. And the reason I say he's an Arabist is because basically they wanted to kill him because he was too influential in the Arab world. He was too dangerous to Israeli interests, to Saudi interests, and to certain American national security interests run by the neocon. Now, when we say that Obama's like Carter, I worked for Jimmy Carter, and Jimmy Carter was the only president of the United States to ever make a Camp David peace accord, the only president of the United States to implement the human rights issues, and the only president of the United States to fire 4,000, listen to me very carefully, 4,000 human operatives of the CIA. He realized how disastrous the CIA had been, and what General Eisenhower said all along, that this is a legacy of ashes, and it will destroy our country until we contain and restrain the CIA. And this is where Jimmy Carter, a great president in retrospect, and I think Obama should be very proud of him, but the neocons have degraded him to say this is our Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was the only president who ever made a peace treaty with Israel. I worked with Anwar Sadat. I went with Menachem Begin. I worked with Herman Niles.
You got arrested by Assad.
Yes, Freeman.
You got arrested.
These were the great men.
Well, you know, someday you got to come on and talk about all the amazing things you did. I mean, I know most of it's classified, but you know
it's not. I'll talk about it, but let's have some more time, and I want to talk to you on it and thank them for listening. Thank you.
Well, let me ask you this question briefly here, Dr. Pachinik.
Sure.
What is the strategy? Because I know you were on here a few months ago criticizing Obama. I mean, I'm apolitical. I'm not Romney or Obama. I want to get your perspective. I respect your view and perspective. We're going to get another one here in a moment. I want listeners to really, you know, hear this inside info for themselves and decide if they think it's accurate or not. But how do they think they're going to get away with this? Putting Al-Qaeda...
Well, they're going to get away with it because, as I told you on the last show, there's a real issue that Dempsey had presented to the whole group of us that we are the military, and our American military is really concerned about, and that is the few minutes delay time or pre-positioning time that Israel will not give the United States, and it will launch an attack, which presumably by Netanyahu and the Israeli Defense Forces strategy will force us into saving them from total destruction. And the answer is Netanyahu has no idea that Petraeus will not save him, Dempsey will not save him, our Navy will not save him, McCraven will not save him, neither will Obama. He cannot get that message through. So he's pushing this through until he kills one of our ambassadors, precipitates what we call agitation propaganda, only with the approval of Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia and Israel are twins. They're doppelgangers. There's no way you can separate Israel from Saudi Arabia or Saudi Arabia of Israel. They go back all the way to 9/11. They go back to the days when Jimmy Carter fired 4,000 operatives because the people went to Saudi Arabia. Those people who were left in the agency went to Saudi Arabia, the Mossad, and the Pakistani ISI to reconstitute an intelligence service which was totally illegal. And many of those who came in the Carter administration, Jews, like Dennis Ross, Martin Indyk, who was an operative underneath the Australian government and was an American citizen for only one day, was appointed an American ambassador to Israel. So Dennis Ross, the neocon, could control him.
All right, well, let me stop right there. Let me stop right there, Doc. We're going to be back on Tuesday to break this down. But bottom line, the 25 fleets, this is London Telegraph, Associated Press, are converging. 25 nations are converging on the strategically important Strait of Hormuz. They've never done this in the last 5 years of saber rattling. My intel is right now Israel has tentatively greenlit an attack anytime in the next month and a half against Iran. Iran will then attack U.S. bases all over the Middle East with their missiles, drawing the United States in by having the Al-Qaeda groups that Saudi Arabia runs start attacking U.S. facilities. They believe that will create a sympathetic response domestically in the U.S. for a call to attack Arabs because people are politically and geopolitically totally ignorant to the level of basically being brain dead. And so now there's this saber rattling, yeah, let's bomb the Arabs. You can see the manipulation. The propaganda is what targeted about a five-year-old mentality. Briefly, you concur with that analysis?
Yes, basically I'll summarize it in this. As Hitler created the first Holocaust for the Jews, the Netanyahu will be responsible for the second Holocaust of the Jews in the 21st century. He will be the Hitler of the 21st century to the Jews. On this New Year's Eve, this is what I say about Netanyahu. He was part of 9/11. He was part of the conspiracy, the agitation propaganda, the killings, and now the agitation and precipitation of war. When that war goes, we will have a Holocaust and a pogrom, the likes of which we haven't seen since the days of Hitler.
Okay.
This is our new Hitler.
Okay, wow. Dr. Pechenik, thank you so much. We'll talk to you Tuesday.